Welcome to Missionary Echoes, an outreach ministry of the Lebanon God's Missionary Church. I'm Pastor Joel, and it's so good to have you join us today.
Dare to run with our eyes fixed on Jesus, following the footsteps of the one who's gone before us. Dare to run in the power of His Spirit, called to be victors in a race already won. Dare to run. We must have our Savior's vision, compassion for the lost, courage for the future, love at any cost. Jesus, following the footsteps of the one who's gone before us. Dare to run in the power of His Spirit, called to be victors in a race already won. Dare to run.
This morning we're airing the second part of a message from 1 Samuel as Pastor Goen considers the account of a woman by the name of Hannah and examines the marks of people that God can use. As we break into the message this morning, Pastor Goen is sharing about how we should pray and the effectiveness of patience and faith in our praying. Here is Pastor Goen with today's message.
George Mueller, we think of as a great giant in the school of prayer. And he said, it's not enough to begin praying, not just to pray aright once, nor is it enough to continue for a time to pray, but we must patiently, believingly continue in prayer until we obtain an answer. Now, of course, God doesn't always answer the way that we anticipated. And sometimes we think we know best, but God sees things we don't see. He operates in ways we can't understand, and sometimes He leaves us with questions that we can't answer, and that may baffle us and concern us for years to come. But when we're praying within the will of God, and we're consistently asking and persistently seeking, continually knocking, God will answer. Hannah was asking, she was seeking, she was knocking, and in the midst of her prayer, she made a vow to the Lord. Oh God, if you'll look on me and you'll give me a baby, I'll give him back to you. I'll see to it that he's set apart to serve you all the days of his life. And while she's praying, Eli sees her and comes to speak to her. Now, we know from the scriptural account that Eli is elderly. He's a little more on the hefty side. And he doesn't have very good eyesight. And in my imagination, in this moment, he's sitting off in the tabernacle somewhere, dozing off. And he happens to open his eyes and he sees this woman whose lips are moving, but she's making no noise. And so he waddles over to confront her. Now, at least in my mind, Eli waddles. He doesn't have to waddle in your mind if you don't want him to, but he waddles in mine. And he comes to her. Now, this is just a theory in my mind, but I think there's solid ground here to think this. I think that what Eli does in this moment with Hannah is an indication of his lack of spiritual discernment. Here is a heartbroken woman. She is crying out to God. This is desperate praying, agonizing prayer, and Eli doesn't recognize that. And he comes to her. Here she is, talking to God about the deepest pain in her life. She is seeking the face of God, and Eli says, you must be drunk. How'd you like your pastor to do something like that? God help me not to be that dumb. I could be. But Hannah, understandably, defends her character, and Eli realizes his mistake, and so he says, Hannah, go in peace. May the God of Israel answer your prayer and fulfill your request. Eli's words must have given Hannah a ray of hope, because the Bible says she got up and she ate and she wasn't sad anymore. And the next morning, before Elkanah's family left Shiloh to travel back to Ramah, they went by the tabernacle once again and they worshiped the Lord. Now, I don't know everything that went through Hannah's mind on the journey back to Ramah, but there must have been this spark of excitement. How is God going to respond to my prayer? When will this answer come? Do you believe this morning that God still answers prayer? Oh, yes, He does. I heard the story just this past week about a young lady. She grew up not far from where Jennifer grew up in South Carolina. In her mid-teens, she was very ill. She had an infection that had caused a high fever. Her face was so swollen, she didn't look like herself. And the people everywhere were praying for her, but her condition was getting worse and worse. And one evening, one of the pastors of her church came to the family's home. And through the night, he prayed for this young woman. And in the wee hours of the morning, she began to improve. And they watched as, in answer to prayer, she got increasingly better. Her recovery progressed. And her pastor was so overwhelmed with gratitude for the privilege of prayer and for the answer to prayer that he took his pen and he wrote that old gospel song, "The clouds have passed away. I see the light of day. The sun is shining through, dispelling gloom with hallelujahs. I know that this is real, for in my heart I feel that my Savior heard my earnest prayers." And the chorus said, "I know He heard my prayer. He knows my every care. He gives to me the blessed victory. Oh yes, I feel Him now. My loyalty I vow. I know the Savior heard my plea." When was the last time you prayed till you touched heaven and you knew that heaven had heard as you'd called on the voice of God? God doesn't always answer exactly the way we envision. He doesn't always give us exactly what we want, but He always honors the prayers of His people. And whatever He chooses to do, He hears our prayers and He ministers grace to our hearts and He accomplishes His purposes in us and through us as we put our dependence on Him. The kind of people that God can use are people who maintain their faith in the face of adversity. And they're people who understand that they are absolutely dependent on God. And then the third mark of people that God uses is this: God uses people who are wholeheartedly devoted to Him. Hannah went home, and the scripture says the Lord remembered her. Now that's a fascinating phrase to me. The Bible, the Old Testament, uses that same phrase in connection with Noah. The Lord remembered Noah. He uses it with Abraham. The Lord remembered Abraham. He uses it for the children of Israel when they're down in Egyptian bondage. The day came that the Lord remembered them. But here's this poor woman, and she is just as much on God's mind as the great patriarchs and the people of Israel. The Lord remembered Hannah. And you could put your name, I believe, right there. The Lord remembers you. And to Hannah's great joy, in a little while, she was in the family way. And in 9 months, she gave birth to a little boy, and she named him Samuel. And this dear woman who had suffered such hardship had the privilege of giving birth to one of the greatest men, one of the greatest leaders, one of the greatest saints of the Old Testament. Remember, Israel is in spiritual darkness. They're in desperate need of a change of direction. They're in need of someone who will boldly proclaim the word of the Lord. And God sees a humble, heartbroken woman, a woman of faith, a woman of prayer. And He says, right there, that woman, Hannah, that's someone that I can use. She belongs to me. She's devoted to me. I can use her to help turn the tide among my people. And it kind of makes you wonder, as we look at our world today with all of its problems and all of its trials, if maybe there's some obscure saint, maybe in some far off place, even this morning, and they're praying and they're trusting God, and God looks on them and said, I can use them. I can work through them. I can use them to help turn the spiritual tide. It might be that God looks at one of our children this morning, somebody who's squirming in a pew, somebody who's scribbling on a piece of paper, and God says, one day I'm going to use them to lead people to Jesus and make a difference for the kingdom of God. And I pray that it's so. We would rejoice to see our children go into the Lord's service, whether that be as pastors or missionaries, or whether it be in the business place or wherever it might be, that they would grow up to minister before the Lord to other people. And God saw Hannah, and God said, I can use her. God needs leaders like Moses and Samuel and King David. But he also needs some men and women behind the scenes who know how to pray, who are sold out to God, who will stay faithful even when it hurts. God needs godly parents like Hannah who will raise up their children and train them in the ways of the Lord and pray for them and then release them into his service. We get a further glimpse of Hannah's faith in the name that she gave her son Samuel. That name means heard by God. And Hannah realized that God had heard and answered her prayer in this baby, Samuel. And Hannah nurtured this little baby. She took good care of him. We can only imagine that she began to train him in the ways of the Lord. And Lord willing, we'll look soon at the life of Samuel. But when you look at Samuel's life, I almost think that I can see the character of his godly mother shining through. She was a woman of prayer. And you look at Samuel's life and you see he was a man of prayer. And no doubt those seeds were planted by his godly mother. But Hannah nurtures him. And when he's weaned, This is difficult to grasp, but he's probably around 3 years old, scholars tell us. But she'd made a vow to the Lord, and she takes her little boy, who she had vowed to the Lord, and they go up to Shiloh to give an offering to the Lord. And she presents Samuel to Eli, and she says, Oh my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I'm the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. You talk about a picture of devotion. This is the apple of her eye. This is the answer to her desperate prayers. And now she says, here he is for the service of the Lord. Can you imagine leaving your three-year-old knowing you're only going to see him once a year? But that's what Hannah did. And every year they go up and she takes a little coat that she's made. But Samuel remains in Shiloh and ministers before the Lord. I think Hannah might have cried some more tears, maybe every year after they left Shiloh. God never promised that our surrender, that our devotion would be easy. But the scripture makes it clear that God always blesses those who honor him. And we don't get to choose how the blessing comes. It doesn't always come in direct correlation in the exact way that we devote ourselves to God, but it's a principle of God's word. Blessing always follows devotion and obedience to him. And Hannah enjoyed the blessing of the Lord because of her devotion. She gave her son to the Lord, and for that, the blessing that she received is recorded in chapter 2, verse 21. God gave Hannah three more sons and two daughters. God is able to use and to bless those who maintain their faith in the face of adversity. Those who maintain their dependence and realize how completely dependent they are on him. He's able to bless And he's able to use those who are wholeheartedly devoted to him. And then finally, and somebody said the word finally is the most useless word a preacher ever uses on a Sunday morning. But finally, I want you to see that God uses people who are convinced that he does all things well. At the beginning of chapter 2 in 1 Samuel, we find the prayer of Hannah. She prayed this prayer after she had brought Samuel to Shiloh. And it's interesting, you look at this prayer, there are similarities with Mary's prayer when she learns that she'll be the mother of Jesus, the Messiah. There are also comparisons in this prayer of Hannah's and a prayer that King David prayed at the end of 2 Samuel, so that Hannah's prayer and David's prayer almost form bookends for 1 and 2 Samuel. There are comparisons here, but this prayer shows us that Hannah's heart was thoroughly convinced that whatever God does and however he chooses to do it, he does all things well. And there's a real sense in which Hannah's prayer, her song at the beginning of chapter 2, is a blueprint or an outline for the books of 1 and 2 Samuel. She begins with joy, which she experienced as a result of receiving her son. She says, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. I rejoice in thy salvation." You go on through her prayer and she speaks of the humble being exalted over the proud. This may be a reference to King Saul being raised to leadership out of obscurity. It may be a reference to David being exalted from his status as a shepherd boy to the anointed king of Israel. Hannah speaks in her prayer of God's faithful people being guarded by God while the wicked are cut off and broken in pieces. This could well be a reference to David being preserved by God, being given an everlasting throne, while Saul sought to kill David, and eventually he came to a bitter end and his dynasty was shattered. It's almost as if Hannah is given the opportunity, because of her faith, because of her devotion in God, to be able to look off into the distance of the next several years and see what God is getting ready to do for his people in giving them Samuel, a great prophet, and then in establishing the kingship of Israel and ultimately establishing the dynasty of David. And at the end of verse 10 in chapter 2, Hannah said this. She said, "The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed." God was going to sit his anointed king David on the throne of Israel. He would bless his reign. And later he would make a covenant with David that he would have an eternal throne. David, his throne would be eternal. And all of this would point to the time when God would establish Jesus on his throne. And of his kingdom there will be no end, and he will reign forever and ever and ever. It's just sort of off there in the distance here in 1 Samuel. But if you look hard enough, you'll find the gospel from Genesis to Revelation. It was always a part of God's plan to send Jesus into the world. And Hannah got to be one little link in this great big chain of how God unfolded this plan. Hannah lived in a dark day, but God had a plan. And Hannah got to be a part of it. And God's plan is still unfolding. Did you know that? And he's going to have the last word. And so this morning, we think of Hannah's life, the marks of the people that God can use. Are you the kind of person that God could tap on your shoulder and say, "I want to use you"? Might not be something out front, but in some way, I want to use you. Are you able to maintain faith in the face of adversity? Do you realize that God is your only hope? Are you fully devoted to him? Are you thoroughly convinced that he does all things well? Are you willing to let God use you? And then I would say this, and this really is finally in closing. Israel would soon establish a king in their dark day. They would come to know the limitations of earthly kings. We plan to explore that in the future weeks. But there is a great king who reigns this morning, King Jesus. And the day is coming when every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I want to ask you this morning, who is sitting on the throne of your heart? Someone wisely said, either he will be Lord of all, or he won't be Lord at all. And I want to challenge you, just like Hannah, let him be the Lord of your life. Let him take the pen and write the story of your life. I'm going to tell you, he's an excellent writer. God is the kind of writer that puts in surprise, twists and turns, things we never would have thought. But the wonderful thing is, all of the stories that he writes ends in his eternal, glorious presence. Let him reign in your hearts. Let King Jesus sit on the throne of your life. Would you stand with me this morning? Our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the example of Hannah, for her life, for the testament that she is to us of your faithfulness. And Lord, I pray that you would help us and search our hearts, that we would determine that we would be the kind of people that you can use, people who will remain steadfast and fervent and faithful and will maintain dependence on you and will be obedient and fully devoted to you. Lord, may we trust in the fact that when we put our lives in your hands, you will get the details right as we trust you. Oh God, if there are those here this morning who have not allowed you to sit on the throne of their hearts, I pray that you would speak to them and show them their need of a Savior. And may they see the wisdom of getting off the throne and letting you sit there and reign and rule as the Lord of their life. Go with us now and guide us. Bring us back at the next appointed time, ready to worship you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you're dismissed.
Jesus is Lord of all.
That was Mark and Melody Sankey with the song Jesus is Lord of All. You've been listening to a sermon preached by Pastor Going at the God's Missionary Church in Lebanon. If you missed the first part of this message, you can find it at lebanongmc.com. Just look for the button that says Radio Broadcasts. If this message spoke to your heart and you'd like to talk with someone about your walk with God, give us a call at 717-273-3690 or send us an email at lebgmc@gmail.com. We'd be happy to talk with you. We'd love to have you join us at 2127 Hill Street in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. Sunday school begins at 9:30, worship at 10:30, and then 6 o'clock this evening. We also have a prayer and praise service on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock p.m. Beginning on October 28th, Dwayne and Valerie Questenberry are scheduled to come and minister in a series of revival-focused services, and it'll be great to have you join us. Services start on October 28th, and we'll be at 7 o'clock each weeknight, and then our regular service times of 10:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. on Sunday, November 2nd. If you can't join us in person, you can always watch the services live at lebanongmc.com. I trust that you'll join us again next week for another edition of Missionary Echoes. I'm Pastor Joel, wishing you our Lord's blessing. Oh,